I feel the damage like a flash behind the veil.
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So what if the most complex machinery in the universe, I mean these tiny, absolutely essential molecular motors inside every single one of your cells, what if they suddenly failed at their job?
And we're talking about a motor that is critical. I mean, absolutely critical for patrolling your DNA.
Exactly. It's scanning for damage, making sure your genes are copied faithfully.
And if that motor develops even a tiny hitch, the outcomes are, well, they're catastrophic.
On one hand, you might get something like xeroderma pigmentosum, or XP, which is a condition that leads to an extreme, lifelong predisposition to cancer.
And on the other, you could see rapid neurodegeneration, high childhood mortality, things characteristic of Cockayne syndrome or CS.
These devastating genetic diseases, they're all rooted in defects of something called the nucleotide excision repair, or NER pathway.
Right, that's our body's primary defense against bulky DNA lesions, the kind you get from, say, UV light or certain toxins.
And the star of this whole damage verification process is a complex protein motor we call XPD.
Mm-hmm. Scientists have known XPD as a motor for decades, but the exact sort of step-by-step choreography of how it physically walks or translocates along the DNA strand remained a mystery.
Until now. Today we are taking a deep dive into some revolutionary computational work that finally maps this whole movement out, showing us moment by molecular moment exactly how tiny errors in XPD's walk can lead to profound human illness.
It truly is a landmark study. It gives us this incredible atomic level insight into a process fundamental to life and death.
So who are the researchers we're focusing on today?
Today we celebrate the work of Tanmoy Paul, Chun Lian, Grant Durden-Blackwell, and Evelo Evanoff, and the team at Georgia State University.
Their paper is Translocation Mechanism of Xeroderma Pigmentosum Group D Protein on Single-Stranded DNA and Genetic Disease Etiology.
A long title, but it's provided the clearest map yet of this molecular machine. They used really advanced modeling to reveal the intricate mechanics of XPD's choreography on DNA.
Which is vital for that second critical step of NER.
Yes, lesion verification. Without XPD successfully scanning and confirming the damage, the repair just never happens.
Okay, so to really get this, we have to start with NER. You said it's for genome maintenance.
Right, it eliminates those bulky, helix-distorting lesions. The process has two major stages. First, you locate the general area of damage.
And then second, you have to verify that damage before you commit to, you know, major surgery on the DNA.
Exactly, and XPD is the key player in that verification stage. It's a core motor subunit of this massive complex called TFIIH.
And functionally, how do we define it?
We call it a 5' to 3' single-strand DNA, or ssDNA translocase.
Which just means it travels along a lone DNA strand in one direction.
Yes, from the 5' end to the 3' end. It's the final checkpoint before the repair complex commits to cutting out the damaged section.
So this brings us right to the big puzzle this paper helps solve. Why would mutations in the same protein cause such wildly different diseases? You have XP with the extreme cancer risk.
And then on the other end, you have syndromes like trichothiodystrophy, TTD, and Cockayne syndrome, CS, with the accelerated neurodegeneration and developmental issues.
That clinical diversity has baffled researchers for years. We know XP is linked to defects in global genome NER, right?
Direct. GGNER. Think of it as a systemic failure of the DNA patrol across the whole genome.
Whereas CS and TTD are more often tied to defects in transcription-coupled NER.
That's the crucial distinction. TCNER is damage repair that's triggered specifically when the transcription machinery stalls at a lesion while it's actively trying to read a gene.
So a failure there directly messes with active gene expression.
Which explains the severe neurodegeneration and systemic issues in children with CS and TTD. XPD is involved in both pathways, and how the mutation subtly impacts one function more than the other really determines the disease.
Okay, before we dive into the movement itself, can you give us a quick sketch of XPD's physical structure? What are the moving parts?
Sure. It's a member of the superfamily 2, or SF2, helicases. It's basically a four-domain machine. You've got two core motor domains, RECO1 and RECO2.
The engine room.
The engine room, yeah. They bind the ATP. Then you have two auxiliary domains, one called the ARCH and another called the iron sulfur, or FES, domain.
And the DNA passes right through the middle of all this.
It passes through a narrow channel formed right where the FES, RECO1, and ARCH domains all meet.
So we've got this complex four-part motor. Why did this research need such sophisticated computer modeling? Why not just, you know, take a picture of it?
Because the actions that drive this movement, the opening, closing, these subtle shifts needed to move just one nucleotide, are unbelievably fast.
Right.
They're transient. They last mere milliseconds. Traditional structural methods like cryo-EM, they often just capture a static snapshot. They miss the entire movie of the process.
So how did they capture the movie then?
They use these incredibly powerful computational techniques. They started with molecular dynamic simulations, MD, which lets them track the movement of every single atom over time.
Wow.
Then they combined that with something called partial nudged elastic band, or PNEB, path optimizations.
Okay, that sounds complicated.
It is, but the idea is simple. PNEB finds the easiest roadmap up a molecular mountain. It models the minimum energy pathway, so they're not wasting computer time on movements that are, you know, energetically impossible.
A very powerful way to define the landscape of movement.
It is. And once they have those potential pathways, they use something called Markov State Modeling, or MSM.
Okay.
MSM lets them take all the thousands of snapshots from the simulation and sort of cluster them. It finds the major cities or stable states and lets them ignore the random noise.
So they can identify only the distinct functional states that XPD actually moves through.
Precisely. And the incredible result of all this was mapping out a full, detailed 7-step cycle.
7 steps.
Yes. The big finding is that the ATPase cycle that powers this forward march goes through 7 sequential states, S1 through S7. And this defines the precise choreography for moving forward just one nucleotide.
And S1 and S7 are basically the same state.
They are. They're both the APO state, meaning nucleotide free. But the crucial difference is that the DNA has successfully advanced by one base, from S1 to S7.
All right, let's unpack that movement. It's powered by ATP binding and then hydrolysis.
That's right. ATP binding is the fuel. When ATP comes in, the RIKI2 domain, one of the core motors, it shifts sharply inward toward RIKA1. This tightens and closes the ATP binding cleft.
The ignition switch for the motor.
That's it.
And how is that force transmitted out to the other domain?
This is where the structural detail gets really fascinating. The arch domain undergoes this coupled rotation. It sweeps outward away from the ETS domain.
And that's not random.
Not at all. It's coordinated by a specific structure they call the spring helix in RIKA2. You can think of that spring helix as the transmission line.
Okay.
It converts the mechanical torque from the closing motor domains into the controlled outward movement of the arch.
So the spring helix is the mechanical linkage. But how does this all translate into actually dragging the DNA forward? This involves the paper's most intuitive idea, the molecular clamps.
This is where it gets really interesting. And it's what explains XPD's strict 5' to 3' polarity. The protein achieves this directional movement by using an alternating affinity mechanism at 2 narrow regions of the DNA binding groove.
Constriction 1 and constriction 2.
Exactly. They act like alternating molecular clamps.
So where are they structurally?
Constriction 1 is at the 5' end of the groove. It's defined by pretty rigid structures like the P-loop. It's a narrow channel that stays relatively intact.
The stable part of the machine.
Right. But constriction 2 is at the 3' end, and it's highly dynamic. It sits right at the intersection of RIA1, arch, and FIES domains.
The motor's most flexible interface.
So it's designed to open and close very quickly.
The dynamic gate versus the static channel. So how does this alternating grip actually pull the DNA forward?
Okay, so in the initial state, S1, with no ATP, constriction 2, the dynamic 3' gate, is tightly closed. It anchors the back end of the DNA.
And because the back is locked down.
The ssDNA is encouraged to slide forward through the more open but rigid constriction 1.
And then ATP comes in and reverses their roles.
Precisely. When ATP binds, that whole structural rearrangement we talked about, the arch sweeping out, RIKA2 moving in, causes constriction 1 to instantly tighten its grip on the 5' end.
Well, at the same time.
At the same time, constriction 2, the one at the back, opens wide up. So with the front now clamped tight, the DNA just slides forward through the newly opened back gate.
Completing the one nucleotide step.
It's this intricate, perfectly coordinated grip and release cycle, like a tiny molecular snake moving forward by alternating its clamps.
And they were able to calculate the speed. It's almost impossible to get your head around that pace.
It is staggering. They estimate the translocation step time to be about 4 milliseconds per nucleotide for XPD.
4 milliseconds.
And we're talking about billions of these motors doing this complex 7-step dance every second inside you.
Now, the paper does note a speed discrepancy, right? 4 milliseconds is a lot faster than some experimental estimates, which are closer to 100 milliseconds.
They do address that, yeah. They emphasize that their simulations are modeling movement on naked single-stranded DNA.
I see.
The experiments often involve XPD actually unwinding double-stranded DNA under a physical load, which is a much slower process overall.
So the 4 milliseconds is like the theoretical top speed, unloaded.
Exactly. The authors argue it's consistent with the rapid underlying physical dynamics. The model gives us the mechanistic clarity, even if the timing is for an unloaded step.
Okay, so let's connect this incredible detail back to the pathology. This is where the link to human disease becomes undeniable.
Absolutely. The most significant clinical finding is that the residues that are mutated in these severe genetic diseases are precisely the ones critical for this physical translocation, or for the energy source that powers it.
So the mutations aren't just random, they're hitting the physical machinery, sabotaging the clamps, or like you said, draining the battery.
That's a perfect way to put it. The researchers actually clustered the known human mutations into 3 classes based on how they disrupt the WONK.
Let's start with class A, though.
Class A mutations primarily cause XP, the cancer predisposition syndrome. These mutations, residues like R511Q and R683WQ, are located squarely within constriction 1.
So they hit the rigid channel, the front door. What does that do?
They disrupt the favorable electrostatic interactions needed to stabilize the DNA backbone. They literally block the threading process.
A physical traffic jam.
That's exactly what it is. It impairs translocation efficiency.
So XP is a traffic jam in the main channel. What about the really debilitating XPCS syndromes?
Those mostly fall into class B. These are mutations like D234N and R666W that interfere directly with the ATPase cleft.
The engine room.
Right. D234N, for instance, it messes with the magnesium coordination you need for ATP hydrolysis. It cripples the motor's power stroke.
And R666W.
That one eliminates a critical positive charge needed for ATP to bind in the first place. So these mutations just compromise the energy source, leading to a global motor failure.
And class C is the last group.
Yes, class C mutations, like G47R, are also XPCS mutations, but they have a more indirect impact. They affect the dynamics of regions right next to the active sites.
How so?
Well, G47R introduces a bulky residue where there should be minimal clearance, right where the phosphate backbone of ATP sits. It causes a steric clash and just disrupts the entire cycle. A subtle change with huge consequences.
It's so powerful how knowing the mechanism gives you immediate, precise insight into the pathology. It's a traffic jam, an engine breakdown, or a structural obstruction.
Exactly.
Before we wrap up, what about that comparison with Ding, the bacterial version? Did that tell us anything new?
It did. Ding confirmed the common architecture and the general two-stage alternating grip mechanism. However, XPD's iron sulfur domain is much more compact and tightly anchored to the REC-A1 domain.
And Ding doesn't have that.
Ding lacks that specific anchoring element. Functionally, it suggests XPD is inherently more structurally constrained, less flexible than Ding.
And why would that be?
It probably reflects a different cellular context.
Mm-hmm.
XPD has to operate within that massive multi-protein TFIIH complex. Its motion has to be highly regulated and integrated with transcription.
So a less flexible, more anchored motor is better for that complex human environment.
That seems to be the case, yes.
So let's distill the key takeaways from this incredible deep dive. Summary insight number 1. XPD translocation, which is vital for DNA damage verification, isn't a simple slide. It's a highly orchestrated 7-step molecular cycle driven entirely by ATP.
Mm-hmm.
Summary insight number 2. XPD gets its critical 5' to 3' directionality from the alternating engagement of 2 very different molecular clamps, the rigid channel of constriction 1 and the dynamic gate of constriction 2.
A coordinated grip and release.
And finally, summary insight number 3. The structural mapping confirms that severe human genetic diseases like XP and Cockayne syndrome are caused by mutations in the precise functionally essential residues required for this physical DNA walk or for the energy source that powers it. We now have a clear molecular roadmap of the pathology.
That's right.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Given that we now have such a detailed molecular level map of this essential process, knowing exactly which residues cause traffic jams and which ones drain the battery, what new targeted small molecule therapies could be designed to specifically rescue the function of these subtly impaired XPD mutant proteins and alleviate the suffering caused by these complex diseases?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, bass by bass.
I feel the damage like a flash behind the veil, a rough-edged truth on a fragile rail. So I move by touch where the light can't stay, reading the thread in a quiet way. One hand holds tight, one hand lets go. I don't tear the line, I learn how to flow. Fuel in my veins, a spark in the spine. I listen for the click when the locks align. Pressure and release, then I'm gone. One breath forward when the grip turns on. Two gates in the groove and I'm riding the swing. Clamping open, let the next note ring. I don't rush the road, I measure the heat. One bass at a time to a steadier beat. If the world promise over iron and stone, a hinge that remembers the way back home. When the engine closes, the doorway clears. When it cracks back open, the path reappears. The line bends inward, tension drawn thin. Then it slides again when the strain gives in. Some names on the map are a hard refrain. Small changes that turn a charge misplaced, a grip that slips, and the whole long story breaks at the lips. Two gates in the groove and I'm riding the swing. Clamping open, let the next note ring. I don't rush the road, I measure the heat. One bass at a time to a steadier beat. If the world breaks loud, I'm a lantern in smoke, tracing the fault where the silence spoke. North of the scar, south of the sting, I keep the promise of the smallest thing. Find what's wrong, prove what's real, move it forward, seal by seal.